Light, we got light.
Now we're going.
Now we're talking, okay.
We solved the technical difficulties, so. It's 1 minute after 6 on September 25th. I'd like to call the Plan Commission meeting to order. First order of business is our roll call. Nyberg?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Kornowski is excused. Rupp is here. Kowalczyk Adrians?
She's excused.
She's excused.
Half an hour ago.
Noor?
Here.
Who'd I miss?
You got everybody.
Got everybody. The next item on our agenda is to review, modify, or adapt our agenda for this evening. Any changes or modifications that you're aware of, Trevor?
No.
No? Anybody on the commission have any comments about the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 3, minutes from August 28th, 2017 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review the somewhat lengthy minutes from last meeting?
Thorough.
Thorough. Thorough, yeah. Thorough. That's good. If there are no comments or changes recommended, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as we see them.
I recommend a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 4, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements for us?
Yeah, I have a few. Just a reminder that the farmers market, we have 2 more weeks left. This week, if you come, we will be handing out footballs, Nerf footballs, in light of the Packers-Bears game. So you're welcome to come, 3:30 to 6:30, so you can still stop by before the game. And then next week will be our last week. The 2 crossings on Riverside Drive, the pedestrian crossings, one by West Briar and then one by Marine Street, are moving forward. The one down by West Briar, we are waiting on the poles to be ordered. And the one on Marine Street, we need approval from the DOT. Official approval from the Traffic Commission, I think it is. So, those should be in by spring. So,
Trevor, could you remind us what the crossing is going to look like?
Sure. The one down by West Briar will actually be a pedestrian hybrid beacon, which it will be when a pedestrian comes up, they push the button, and there will actually be a red light to stop traffic.
It's an overhead.
Right.
Running across the roadway.
Right. And from what we hear, that's the first of its type on this type of highway in the state. So the DOT is allowing us to do that. And then the one on the north side between Derby and Marine Street will be one of those yellow flashing ones. Because of the curve and everything, I don't think they were able to get the pedestrian hybrid beacon for that location. But they are wanting to install the yellow flashing beacon. So.
It's good. It's good to have the one with the red
stuff,
because I know we had a lot of comments on how trusting people felt walking out, you know, into the roadway with trucks coming by at 50.
The one by Marine Street will have a pedestrian connection of some sort down to the Fox River Trail, too, so.
Thank you. Any other announcements, Trevor?
None.
Any from any commissioners? Also? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5, public appearances. Anyone wishing to speak, please come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record.
Chamorro, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former chairman of the, co-chairman of the Alloy Bike Ped Committee, so I pay a lot of attention to pedestrian issues. I took it very seriously, looking at the pedestrian requirements for all planned development districts. I work on West St. Joseph Street, and there's a partial sidewalk that were started on both sides, but there's been no formal plans to finish those sidewalks, even though pedestrian access is required in all new PDDs. So any PDDs that come before this committee, I would like you to make sure or ask the village attorney to see if I am indeed correct that pedestrian accommodations are required in all planned development districts. That's one of the reasons why the state gives the village leeway in the zoning code, is to make developments better than currently allowed under current zoning codes. So if you're going to bypass the zoning code through the PDD process, the state has said you can do that, but you're required to put in pedestrian accommodations, and there was no pedestrian accommodations. They were, that requirement was waived by somebody in the village for the old Chapel Hill development, and now the village is going to need to use tax dollars to put those pedestrian accommodations in when they're put in. The soonest that that would be put in, according to what I've seen from the Public Works Department, would be 2019, when they might do some more resurfacing of West St. Joseph Street. But there's no plans to put it in next year, and I didn't see anything else in the budget. So preliminary budgets call for maybe some work to be done in 2019, and I'd like this committee to make sure that when that work is done, that there's sidewalks that'll get the kids from that new apartment complex up to Webster School, so they don't have to walk in the street on snowy days on a hill and possibly get hit by cars. Thanks.
Anybody else wishing to speak at the public appearance?
Hi, I'm Valerie Hutchison, 812 Durbin Line. Do you all have any objection to notifying people in the surrounding area if, when you're deciding an issue that affects those folks in that area? I know that you post things on the website, and I look at those things, but it's such a slender portion of our residents that actually reads the website, I find. And so many of those people have no idea until something is finished that thing was even up for discussion. And then they're upset when they had no idea that they had a voice in that issue. Where if you sent out a letter, they would. Now, a friend of mine that lives on Catherine said that she got a letter when a neighbor of hers was building a garage, and I guess it was out of the actual code or something, and I guess she sent a letter saying, does anybody object to this? And so she was surprised then when the Quick Trip went up, because that to her seemed like a big thing. So, you know what I'm saying? So, do you object to sending out letters to, you know, to the population, something that affects people?
I think we should maybe ask our staff member, Trevor, to give us a comment. We don't object. I think there's a procedure for how neighbors are notified. And Trevor, could you help us with that?
State law requires us to notify residents within 200 feet of their property. So that's our standard procedure. This has come up in the past, I think, once or twice, too. So,
Trevor, is that when it goes to Plan Commission or when it goes to the board?
The state requires it when it goes to the village board.
And not the Plan Commission?
Right. So we do both.
Right, we do both. Okay.
Right.
But, I mean, state requires, but, I mean, in the spirit of, you know, we're out of way, we're a small village, wouldn't it be good to let people know what's going on in their, you know, general vicinity? 200 feet isn't very far, you know what I mean? Wouldn't that be something good to do so that everybody has a voice in what's happening in their, you know, neck of the woods?
We're not allowed to discuss things that aren't on the agenda so that people can be here if they're interested in. This is just for you to tell us. But what we can do, what you can do is you can call a board member and ask them to put it on, or you can call us. We can put it on the agenda for next month to talk about, but because then it's noticed. You know, so it's not that we're ignoring what you're saying. It's that we can't really have a discussion of it here because it wasn't on the agenda.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And bring it to us or talk to a board member and bring it to the whole board.
Okay.
And have a discussion there.
And
yeah.
One of the reasons we ask you to come up is so that we can get your comments on the record. So these are transcribed and published. And everything that's said here is seen as part of the minutes. And the village board sees those minutes also. So that's another avenue that you're taking. But the suggestion is appropriate that
Thanks.
You contact
Thanks.
Us. Directly.
Good evening. My name is John Abbott. I live at 1434 South Jackson, and I'm also vice president of the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association. And I don't know how much I'm able to say, and I think you're saying this isn't a discussion, but can I enter information into the record for the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like it to be noted that I'm going to try to speak with some authority, being that I have a lot of experience. I have a master's degree in environmental resources with a minor in urban planning. I worked for about 30 years in the West Coast in California, Oregon, and Washington State, and I know all about planning commissions. I've stood before several of them. Mm-hmm. And first thing I want to say for the record that I know this is a hard job, so thank you for your work. And I'm speaking in behalf of the people in the neighborhood that we don't want that sign. I'm just saying that for the record. And I have some questions, but I'd like to know if you could tell me where I can direct those questions. Please.
Howard, can I make a suggestion of you?
No, go ahead.
When we get to that part of the agenda, we can open it up and listen to your suggestions on it. You're talking about the billboard, right? The billboard
issue? Yes,
ma'am. Okay. That's on the agenda, so we can speak about it?
Yes, I'd like to raise some questions if I can in this format.
I'm asking our chair here if at that point we can open it up and then you can speak.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can ask some questions?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What we'll do is we'll have a discussion and dialogue, and then we'll do what we call suspend the rules, and then we'll have your opportunity to come back, and we'll discuss.
Okay, so the spirit of what I'm trying to do is I'm here in good graces. I respect your position. I know you're just trying to represent the community, and I'm trying to represent my neighborhood. And like I say, I don't think that we would like that. One of the things I like about where I live is being able to go out and look at the river. And sometimes we see deer and turkeys and eagles and all kinds of fun things. And it's nice and quiet in the neighborhood. It's nice. It's got a lot of nice aesthetics. From what I understand about billboards, they usually drive the prices down of the value of the neighborhood will go down a little bit. Also, aesthetically, that doesn't look good, especially more in our area. And one of the questions, I guess, who is benefiting? Is anybody in our neighborhood benefiting from this billboard? I have a feeling there's going to be stuff on the billboard that has nothing to do with our neighborhood. And I'm just wondering who is capitalizing on this. That's just a question I'm asking. I'm not pointing any fingers. Secondly, I think that from an urban planning viewpoint, this is not good. Our neighborhood is historic. Most of the houses were built in the 1920s and 30s, or right next to Astor. And the house, I call it a storybook a neighborhood. It's all the houses are kind of quaint, kind of cute. I think it's Tudor Revival is what the reason for the inclusion in. I think Trevor's working on that right now.
Right.
Yeah. So I just don't see how this billboard, in its particular format, is going to have anything to do to help us in that area. Now, I'm not against a billboard, but I think there could be a more creative way where this can tie in more historically with us. And that's why I'm trying to represent our neighborhood to say. And I think from aesthetics, from an urban planning standpoint, the impact it's going to cause, and who in the world is benefiting from this anyway. So these are just some of my concerns. And my questions to you are, if you could answer any of those. I don't expect you didn't come prepared, but if we can discourse this over the next few weeks, I'd like to slow this thing down before they come out there with the light bulbs, electric plugs, and plug the thing in. Let's talk about it. There's people in our neighborhood who don't want it. Let's talk about it. And so we're reasonable people. I'm all for progress, but I'm also for preserving the history. Okay, well, thank you for your time. And I just wanted to raise a few issues.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, 2339 Oakwood. With regards to Valerie's question, with regards to notice to neighbors, that's come up quite a few times, leading to some contentious meetings. The state minimum is 200 feet, which is two houses, which on when you're expanding, maybe doing something with the garage or maybe a deck, it's no big deal. But when you're putting in gas stations, convenience programs, converting single-family homes to 14 condominiums like they did on Martha Court, I think a more appropriate setback notification distance would be 500 feet. That is about five houses out in a circle. Costs a bit more in mailing, but the labor is, that's all. Done by mailing houses anyway, so it's very easy to do. I do it all the time in my business. You just tell them the radius you want, and they can expand it as much as you want. So I would ask this board to ask the village board to expand the notification from the state minimum of 200 to 500 feet for the required changes and variances. Thanks.
Are we moving on to 6 yet? Or have we gotten there?
Not yet.
No.
I
don't
think so. No.
Okay.
If there are no other people wishing to speak in our public appearance, then we'll go on to item number 6, action regarding approval of amendment to Article 9 of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances, which is signs. And Trevor, do you want to start us off on this discussion?
Sure. So a little background on how this arrived on the agenda tonight. As you recall, earlier this year, Lamar Sign was seeking a sign exception through our sign exception process in our zoning code to allow for electronic billboard at the location on Monroe there, right at the Green Bay Village of Alloway limits. So that affected the Robinson Hill District. They were noticed of that request. The Planning Commission, you guys decided to deny that sign exception. That went to the Village Board. The Village Board also denied the sign exception. At that time, Lamar asked, would the Village Board be interested in looking at how billboards could be allowed in the village, because currently they are not. And so the Village Board said, you know, bring it to the Planning Commission and discuss it and see if that's something that fits within the character of the comprehensive plan. So over the course of the summer, Lamar has sent the village a few different ordinances where in surrounding municipalities where billboards are allowed. The one that is in your packet tonight is from the town of Grand Chute. And I selected that one because it was easy to modify it. Every municipality has a different way of handling these. There are quite a few municipalities around here that do not allow billboards altogether. There are Ashwaubenon, for example, only allows it along 172 or 41. And Green Bay has a very complex ordinance around this, several pages in length. Grand Chute seemed to be the most straightforward if we were to have to pick one. So I guess tonight I don't necessarily want, or I'm not necessarily seeking on approving language, but I would like the Plan Commission to discuss if this is something that fits with comprehensive plan, if this is something that we should be discussing further. If it is, then I'll go back and do more research. If it is not, then I'll give the recommendation to the Village Board, and the Village Board can decide if we should discuss this any further.
Do you mind if I ask some questions?
Sure.
I mean, since I'm relatively new, I need some background, and basically, it's my understanding that, I don't know how long ago, but a while ago, the village decided that they didn't want billboards anymore and put together the existing code to just grandfather in the ones that were there, and as they aged, to have them taken down. So for us, I don't know that should be the discussion. Do we even want to have any new billboards, or do we want to just stick with the policy of as they age, they'll be taken down? That to me is the big basis for the discussion. You know, because I was looking at this code and it says near a signalized intersection. Well, is that signal for the pedestrians going to be considered a signalized intersection? And would that immediately put that board that's right there in you know, not in accordance with this? To me, I think the discussion is why was the billboards limited in the first place, and do we want to do anything different? And the only one, as far as I can tell, who's asking us to do anything different is the sign company that wants the sign there to improve it, to put more in. So, what does others think about it?
Yeah, I agree, Becky. I think we have a community that's 5 miles by 5 miles, right? Is that
pretty
the
cool
general size? Billboards are for highways. I don't see that they're appropriate for our community. Just don't think they're needed.
I had a concern about when you get into the technical aspect of, well, how many seconds does each message stay on before it goes off again? If you're on the freeway or the interstate, you can see it a long way off, and you can see the whole 8 or 12 or 15 or whatever. And if your eye catches it and it goes off, you'll probably still see it again before you get to it. But there, you don't see the billboard until you're quite close. And it's a residential neighborhood. You know, it's not limited access, or it's not freeway, you know. So I think, I mean, what's there is, I mean, I would call that a billboard as it is. I mean, there's a big sign up there, and it's lit, right? And so I don't know why we...
I think it is a billboard technically, and I think, I don't know when that happened, Becky, because I wasn't around, but if they change the sign by X amount of dollars, put X amount in or something, and I don't know what the numbers are, and Trevor can help me with that, then it's not grandfathered in anymore. Okay? So what they're proposing would be quite costly, I imagine, and they won't fall under that grandfather clause anymore. So if, you know, the ordinance is changed, then they have a way to do that. Am I technically correct, right, Trevor?
You're right, yes. To expand on that, the sign ordinance, when I started, was adopted in 2009. I'm not sure what part of it was existing prior to that. But in the 2009 ordinance did not allow billboards. We went through that major amendment process last year and upheld that billboards should be allowed. And we went a step further, and we added the 50% rule. So if a sign is upgraded more than 50% of its value, it should come down. So that doesn't necessarily justify the billboards, but it would in this circumstance as well. So.
Can I add something right there?
What we're going to do is we'll have our discussion amongst ourselves. And then I'll open it up to the public, and you'll know because we'll have a motion, and then you'll be asked to come up if you still want to. So if you can just hang on for a little bit till we have our dialogue first, then we'll bring you into it. Is that okay? Trevor, did you say that the sign ordinance was amended or upgraded just last year?
Correct.
Yeah, and at that time... the billboard issue remained unchanged.
Right.
So this is pretty recent then to consider overturning or modifying something. Again, it's my opinion. You know, I'm kind of laying the groundwork for how I might cast my vote. When kind of like the Republicans, right? Talking about why they might not vote for the health care bill. And the point is well taken that it's not something that necessarily I can't see how it would benefit the village of Alloway. It's not something going in for us, it's going in for the sign company who sells advertising on it. And so the sign company doesn't live here.
The sign company did come in telling us the first statements made were how it would benefit the village by the public service announcements. So that's how the conversation was started to us. Most of us have those on our telephones nowadays. So, I mean, we don't need to go to a billboard to find out that there's a tornado warning. I mean, or whatever's going on. We have that on our cell phones.
Yeah, or... you can look outside.
That's true. Look at the sky.
I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm saying, you know, but you know, one of the other issues that they brought, I think, was, you know, if they're missing children, missing child, you know, abductions. Well, sure. I mean, but I don't know that the visibility there is enough. And there are other ways to get that message out.
Yeah, it could also go to your phone.
Yeah, it could go to your phone, and it's on the news. And it's on any billboard that's seen along the interstate by many more than drive down that roadway. So, I mean, those are all nice things, but I don't know that It's enough to make us want to do it, in my opinion. So again, we're tasked with deciding whether we want to proceed with this in terms of, and what that means is that we would say, yes, we'd like you to go ahead and prepare something more thorough, and then we'll see it again, and it'll go to the village board. Or conversely, we might say, no, we think it's okay the way it is. We don't want to proceed. Mm-hmm. And so that's our
I did
task.
Hear from at least one resident of that area who's very much against it, and she's not here tonight, but they're not happy about those lights flashing in their windows or in their area, so I appreciate that.
Did we hear it all from maybe the homeowner that lives in the city of Green Bay limits right behind the sign at all?
They were noticed when the sign exception process was going out. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear from them, no.
Okay.
Would the sign be one side? Is it one sided now?
It's one sided now.
I just know that sometimes you still get the light from mm-hmm. the other side. You know, you still see, especially when it's flashing. Like, I can't imagine that's real pleasing. So.
It's going to be flashing outside the perimeter, outside the border of the sign.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's literally right next to their house.
Yeah, it's in their backyard almost.
Mm-hmm. We received, actually, at the time, we received quite a bit of correspondences from residences from a lot of that area there. But this would also apply to, you know, the entire village.
Right.
And
there's no other billboards, am I correct?
There's the one in the Lorelei's Spirit parking lot.
Okay.
There. And then there's one down by St. Mike's.
That's right.
Can we open, has everybody said maybe we should open the meeting here? Do you think it's okay to me?
Yeah. So, unless anyone else...
I have one more question for Trevor.
Before we...
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
But those other ones, they're just grandfathered in, right? If they were to change them, they would have to be out.
Right.
Okay.
So just there's literally three in the village, one by the Lorelei, and then the two on Riverside Drive.
Three different locations, five, I think, all together, because the Lorelei is double-sided, and then the one on the row has two right next to each other.
So, at this point, I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules so that we can have some comments.
I'll move to suspend the rules.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Yeah, I love the way the discussion's going. I'm bound to have to send it. I'm the president of the Robinson Hill Neighborhood Association. Sent out a bunch of emails, and I did get responses too from people who couldn't be here saying, you know, nobody, you know, in their right mind would want this. In our way, if you were in a big city and you lived beside the highway, you know, it might make sense. I did make some copies of some information for you because I didn't know you'd be so also against it. But also, it's kind of some good information.
Yes.
On page two of this is Lamar's and Clear Channel. There's three big outdoor advertising companies. Their tactics for talking municipalities into this, and it's on page three or some. But the first one is the public service announcements, the Amber Alerts. The second one is Let's Trade. You know, they'll take the old boards down mm-hmm. and trade for, you know, putting up the new ones. The thing is, they're very litigious, and when they do that, if you allow them to put up a new one, you know, because of that 50% rule, in the hopes that, you know, the grandfather clause, then, or they, you know, they're no longer grandfathered in, you know, they sue at the drop of a hat. Minnetonka, I've got a 43-page report, not with me, on their lawsuit against Lamar's lawsuit against them. They did a 43-page study about the dangers and the hazards of the digital billboards. They did, when they took other studies, the Wisconsin DOT's study at Milwaukee Stadium, that found that there was a 35% increase in sideswipe accidents when there was a multiple message sign in play. And this was back in the 80s before there was a digital board, but it was a multiple message board even. 35% increase, they found. That's the Wisconsin DOT report. That was quoted in the Minnetonka suit. So that's just one of many. And what they also talk about in the talking points, and it makes sense, digital billboards can be seen from as far away as a half mile. So, yeah, they'll trade you two for one, but one of those digital billboards 30 feet in the sky, you can see from a half mile away. So, you know, they only need one, you know, to be seen from half a mile away. So it's a scary thing. It's dangerous. Riverside is already dangerous to walk across. You really take your life in your hands right now. I'm so glad that, you know, there's going to be help with that. But if they would be able to do this, and, you know, I don't know why, frankly, the board wanted you to discuss the issue in the first place, because Lamar is not a local company. They're a big national company traded on the NASDAQ. They make $1 billion a year plus. I don't see the benefit in it for anybody but them. And there's a huge, huge downside. There's a definite... there's evidence that there's more vacancies. You get a ragtag appearance. There's already 17 signs in that very small area. Yeah, in the summer, you know, Alloway, if you're in Alloway, you're in Green Bay. It's very messy looking right there. What we really need to be talking about is, like you said, that we need to get rid of the billboards altogether. And, you know, you're the folks that can do it. So I'm with you there. So that's all I have to say. I really appreciate what you do. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to be real brief. We have a couple of other neighbors who would like to speak. So they'll be coming up.
Anyone who wishes to come up to the podium, please do so. State your name and address for the record.
I'm a neighbor of these other folks. Karen Sees. I'm on Alloway Terrace. We've been there, let's see, since 1986, so long-term resident of the village. Never got involved in anything like this before, but I got to thinking, you know, about it in terms of talking with Val, and the threefold thing of declining property values. I, too, have read some of the studies, pretty thorough paper that we read, and it was based on the Philadelphia area, but property values there declined about $30,000 from some of the signage they had. Now, I know we're a smaller city, but that's a big issue. For me personally, aesthetics were involved with the Robinson Hill, trying to get the, you know, hired to be a historic area. This borders on it. It just does not fit. I mean, the thought of, frankly, driving down Riverside Drive and seeing a gigantic digital TV screen. And I took a good look at the size of those, too, the other night. I forgot that we actually have five in Alloway, because that's double. And then there's one across the way on Riverside, and then the one by Lorelei is a double one, too. And I was, like, trying to figure out how big they are. And it's just huge. And imagining it as a digital flashing thing is not an attractive thought. One of the articles that we came up with had to do with sign brightness, you know, issues, which is plays into visibility. I'm happy to share that with anybody. It's got to do with luminosity, and some of it is beyond my pay grade, but it just is really, you know, the brightness of it, which is going to be an obvious thing, and they have to, you know, to consider that daytime and night, and there's energy aspects of that too. So I concur, I guess, basically a lot with what Val said, and that's pretty much where I'm coming from. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hello, my name is Zephria. I live at 924 Degree Lane, and I've been there for about 15 years. Previously, I lived on South Quincy in Alloway, so I've been in the neighborhood close to 20 years. I just heard about this today when I checked my email. I use the Fox River Trail a lot, and there are people who are walking, rollerblading, biking, and to get there, you have to cross Riverside Drive. So if this sign is, you know, distracting drivers, I would think that there probably is going to be safety issues with pedestrians, people crossing, because it is a little challenging already with that curve coming in and everything. So I also, my house is located across from a lot that the hospital owns, and previous to a few years ago, it was a parking lot, paved parking lot with great big bright lights. I had to install light blocking blinds because that light just glared into my bedroom window, and you know, it was difficult to fall asleep. So I'm anticipating if this happens at all to the people and neighbors, you know, and since it's so much higher, it's going to be much more intense. It is going to be causing, I'm assuming, sleep disturbances. And you know, I just did a little research online myself. I didn't have a lot of time since I just found out about it today, but I know how vital sleep is important, good sleep hygiene, you know, for anybody. So between driver distractibility, you know, and the danger to people crossing, you know, interference with light, too much light at night, you know, even for animals too, birds and stuff like that, I just think it's not worth it. And I certainly don't want my property value to go down. I've been in the neighborhood 20 years. I'd like to be there maybe another 20 years. And, you know, I put money to make my house the way I like it. I put probably $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into my house, and I don't want that value to go down. So, you know, and I'm sure you people don't either, because the higher the value, the better tax, you know, that you get off of it. So I'm against this, and I think it's not a good idea at all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We have another neighbor. Her name is Kathleen.
Kelly.
And she runs the yoga. Yeah, she doesn't want this thing to happen either. She just can't. She wanted me to tell you she can't be here. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Becky Johnson, and Ben, my husband Don, and I live at Rustic Oaks Court, 1622 Rustic Oaks Court. We've been there 17 years, and prior to that, we were on South Clay Street, so we've been Alloway residents since 83. Thank you, a long time. And I guess it sounds like there's a discussion about one particular billboard that this Lamar wants to expand and turn into a digital monstrosity. And my question is, if they're given approval for that, is it possible that, because we're very close to the Lorelei and that billboard there, is it possible that other companies are going to say, well, you've set the precedent with this, and we're going to, now we want a flashing billboard on Webster Avenue? Is that, I'm asking, is that a possibility, or is this just a one-and-done issue?
I think this, they own all of them. The same company owns all of them, and so I would assume that they would want that.
So they're all Lamar, so they could theoretically then say, okay, now it's, yeah, and then that would affect us, the same thing that the ladies behind said about the lights and the flashing, mm-hmm. sleep disturbances and property value. So I can't imagine why this is even being considered. I've been here long enough to remember when the McDonald's wanted to build on Webster and all the hoops that they had to go through.
I was with McDonald's at the time, yeah. I remember it too.
Are they ever going to allow that? And I'm thinking, are these the same? Is this the same village that put the screws to McDonald's on all their things they wanted to do, and now they're going to put this giant flashing billboard up?
Well,
I guess my question is why, and like the others have said, who benefits? Not certainly the residents of Alloway. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm a realtor and a history buff, and I belong to a variety of regional history historic preservation groups. I'm opposed to the expansion of the billboard. I agree with Becky. If you leave it there, and eventually it will go away, maybe 10, 20 years, but eventually it will go away. We're currently connecting the proposed Robinson Hill Historic District with the Astor Park Historic District to create a valuable setting for historic homes. And I don't think a big screen TV on the side of the road enhances either Astor Park or the proposed Robinson Hill Historic District. So I believe that it does. As a realtor, I believe that that it does not, a billboard does not enhance the property values in any way, and I agree with the Robinson Hill Historic District that it should not be approved. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Don Johnson. You've seen me here before, and I'm 1622 Rustic Oaks Court, directly behind the proposed Zimbaldi's building project. Okay, and I'm totally agreeing with these folks here with the signage. You know, I just don't think it's necessary, and then I'm wondering what's going to happen with the Zimbaldi project, if there would be electronic signage approved for that building or that district. And if there would be, doesn't that kind of fly in the face of cemetery ordinances and stuff, what I used to read in real estate school about perpetual care? That's what it says. The quiet zones, restful sleeping areas, is a cemetery. And so I'm agreeing with these things. These behemoth signs are completely out of the normal, they're out of place. They don't need to be there. A 3 foot by 5 foot sign, 5 foot off the ground, would be plenty. My comments. Look, we're excited for Zimbaldi's to move into the neighborhood, but it's up to you people to rein in the controls. We're asking you to do that. We're asking you to please do that. And also respect the neighborhood. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak before we return the rules and continue our deliberation?
I just want to add one last thing. I agree with this gentleman about the signage on the businesses. I know that's a touchy issue, and I'm all for local business, and I support local business whenever I can. I believe in small business and do support them. But I do think that signage is a great thing, but I think the flashing and the moving in this type of, and I've lived in 7 states, 2 countries, and many municipalities, and this is a unique village, and it's beautiful. Open spaces are important, and the visuals are important, and, you know, the signage is very important, and, you know, that needs to be, needs to fit in as well. So I do think that needs, just because it's on a business doesn't mean it should be totally, you know, flashing and turning. So I do agree with that. So
thank you. Anyone else? Okay, at this point, I'll entertain a motion to take up the rules. We have
a
motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We're back in session, I guess you'd call it, where we'll discuss with amongst ourselves and with Trevor. Any comments from
the I just have a couple comments regarding our guests here tonight, is that we're only discussing the billboard issues, and the other issues raised can't be up for discussion right now, aren't part of the, that would have to be a separate topic. Okay, right now we're discussing just the billboards. Okay, the other businesses or so forth would still have to abide by our sign code. It would be adding this billboard thing into our sign code that we're here to discuss.
Any comments from our commissioners?
It feels like we're all kind of leaning towards, I guess, not proceeding with amending the code, if I can kind of read into that. So I don't know if we just want to make a motion.
It sounds like you're beginning
to
state a motion.
Go for it. Okay, I will recommend a motion to not proceed with amending the sign code to allow for this type of sign.
We have a motion.
Sure. Excuse me, do we have to change that to a recommendation to the board?
Yeah.
Is that the recommendation, not
sure.
to proceed?
The recommendation,
recommendation
is to not proceed.
Not proceed, yeah.
To not proceed.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Well, our recommendation is to not proceed. That will go to the village board.
And thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This will likely go to the board next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. So, any of you are interested or want to state your, the board will make the final decision. That'll be next Tuesday, Trevor says. It's going to be on the agenda again. So the board makes the final decision.
It's my understanding that they've already been turned down for that flashing sign.
Right.
And that this is just that we aren't going to open up the code so that they could do it later, that it's already been... They've already been told it wouldn't fit the code as it is.
Correct.
Right.
And so really all we're just reaffirming is that we don't want to change the code and we don't want the sign to change.
I think the village board just wanted to be as accommodating as they could by saying, yeah, we'll look at it again because they asked.
This would be the same as if any resident wanted to change any part of the zoning code that the Plan Commission would review and discuss it and send it to the village board.
We just simply confirmed what's previously been discussed.
I mean, so even if the village board said we want to open it up anyway, it would still come back to us and
again.
We would be told we have to. But yeah, it's as of now the flashing sign is a dead issue unless they figure out some way for us to change the code to allow it.
Right.
Okay. So that's I just wanted the people in attendance to know that.
Moving on to item number 7, action regarding approval of amendment to Article 3 of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances relating to district regulations. Trevor, do you have some opening discussions?
Sure, this is kind of a branch off a discussion we've been having for the past couple months, particularly on allowing for mixed-use development in commercial areas. Something that the comprehensive plan talked about and our corridor study discussed as well. Speaking with Brown County and then also the Center of Land Use Education, they both have recommended a way of going about doing this as kind of a stopgap, if you will, is allowing for mixed use as a conditional use in your commercial district. So this is first stab at it. It's not necessarily final language. Any final language, I would like to update our conditional use requirements. I think as we are aware, from a project earlier this summer. Our current conditional use policy doesn't require a lot of in-depth information, and I think if you're going to start allowing mixed uses, you're going to want more information before you give any sort of approval. So I guess tonight is commenting at the first draft or first blush of the amendment, and then moving on from here, we'd have the attorney review it, and we'd also look at updating our conditional use section as well.
So again, we're tasked with simply deciding whether to recommend or not to proceed with this. And if we say, yes, we'd like to proceed, then you'll go back and, it says staff, that means you, right? Go back and put some more words together and we'll see it again. So this is kind of
preliminary
to decide if we want to pursue this.
Right.
So there has been a lot of talk about mixed use and certainly the talk was all positive, like we want to get this in our code something. Excuse me. I have a question under, and this is, you know, probably a technical question that doesn't matter right now anyway, but floor area, elevator shafts and stairwells at each floor, would we have to have elevators on if there's more than to be up to code?
You wouldn't have.
Oh. Well, I'm just thinking of, like, the site on the old water site, and I don't know if there's even two floors in there, though. Water building and having that in mixed use, there's no way you're going to get an elevator in there.
Right. This would be for a multi-story. If there was a multi-story building, I believe building code requires anything above two floors, so three plus.
Oh, okay.
Would require an elevator.
So what's added here as a recommendation or a suggestion going forward would be in blue, which is microbrewery, mixed residential and commercial apartment buildings, multiple family dwellings and residential condominiums for three or more families.
Great.
Those are the three proposed new conditional uses.
Great.
Why not permit into dwellings on the first floor? I'm just curious as to why they would be restricted to the second floor or above.
Well, if you're gonna have it as a mixed use facility, mm-hmm. It just promotes more activity on the street. If you have commercial space on the main floor,
this is
okay. Just
yeah. I guess if you're gonna have apartments, it would.
To the you're going to have a building that's just apartments in that area, then there's going to be apartments on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Or there may be an apartment and a coffee shop next door on a first floor. But I didn't know if there was a reason to say you can't have an apartment on the first floor.
Yeah, and we could certainly modify that to be more specific, too.
Didn't know if it was. Yeah.
Chairman, did you adopt this from?
This was several communities
together.
Right. I think I looked at the peer, looked at quite a few municipalities down in the Milwaukee area as well. So trying to look at communities that are what we're trying to emulate and look at their codes.
This says that these would be conditional uses, but it looks to me like you're just adding it as a permitted use to the commercial business. The group pubs. Is it actually just a permitted use, or is it a conditional use?
It, it's conditional use. So under O, then they had the four conditioned uses that would be allowed in commercial.
And basically, conditional use is just getting permission for that within, that they can't just do it.
Right.
They have to get permission to do it, but they can ask for permission within this zoning.
Right. It's generally allowed under a different type of zoning, but in order to allow it under, you know, commercial, you'd have to meet more stringent requirements. So, like, when we had our brew pub, when we amended that in 2015, we made some additional architectural requirements as part of that condition.
Okay. So if it's not a permitted use, then it's a conditional use, and it still has subject to some approvals.
Right.
And commission. So we still have control.
Right, yeah, you still have to have a public hearing and everything like that.
I believe we looked at something else that was a conditional use last month, or the month before, and there was criteria spelled out for us of when we should permit that conditional use if it fits into this criteria. So,
is the black is the ones that are already there? That's not something you changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why, if aren't we trying to go with like more traditional neighborhood design? Why is there 15 that they have to have front yards of 15 feet? That can't commercial buildings be built right up to the sidewalk?
Yeah, and that's something we could modify. Current commercial district requires 15 feet. We could certainly modify that.
I mean, but isn't the concept of the traditional neighborhood design that the building's like right up to the sidewalk and then the parking's behind it?
Mm-hmm.
And 15 feet is a, you know. So I didn't realize that we even had that in the code.
Any other comments or questions for Trevor?
Yeah, do other communities have water tanks in theirs? Or was that added specially for us?
Do we have a water tank in here?
We do. We're
careful about that. It.
And cooling towers.
Oh. Okay, then. Well, I see. Yeah.
It is a unique situation.
Yes. Yes.
So we're just recommending whether or not
to keep working on this.
We're recommending whether we're going to give Trevor some more work.
Some more.
So you know, yeah, that's it. So
I would be a look at the requiring that 15 feet would be something that I would look at. Just it. They could do it if it fit what they were doing, but if they wanted to put it closer to the sidewalk, that would be okay, you know, in my mind. But I don't know if that brings up other problems. If you could research that.
You could have, like, some municipalities have is a build-to line instead of a setback line. So the furthest back you can set. So instead of saying the closest you can put it to the road is 15 feet, you say the furthest back from the road you can put it is 15 feet.
Okay, so then everything will be in between there. Okay, that's... Because you want to encourage the parking in the back and the building closer to the street.
Any other comments or questions before we consider the motion? I'm not trying to rush. I just want to make sure if we have something that needs to come out. I don't see a reason not to proceed, personally.
Me neither. It's just discussions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're not tasked with. There's a good point about the 15 feet because it has to fit with what the neighborhood is. I mean, maybe
right.
you don't want it to be at the curb if everything else is 15
right.
feet.
Yeah,
down.
I mean, but
yet conversely,
yeah,
you know, so
that,
those
yeah.
kind of things, you know, what fits our village. You know.
Yeah.
So. One quick comment. We won't suspend the rules, but we'll ask you to be brief.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I support mixed use, especially in our changing economy. I'd like to see more permitted uses and less conditional use. So a conditional use puts a damper on property value because a buyer doesn't know if he will be able to get something done. So if you write a good zoning code with a clear permitted uses and a limited number of conditional uses, I think that's good for the village. Thanks.
I think this could be I think the term was stopgap. It could be a short-term a solution, mm-hmm. if you will. The long-term being, as Jim said, you know, write it into the permitted uses. So I guess I'll entertain a motion if we're ready for that.
The way it's written here, it says approval of amendment to Article 3, but would it not mean that we are
good point.
If you want, you can. I know what you guys are talking about, and I can continue to work on it, and then you can hold off on making any motion.
Okay.
That, if you're even more comfortable with that.
Maybe to table this for more updating until the next meeting.
For the work or something, yeah.
That we could bring back something different.
Sure. To a formal table, or?
I don't know.
I don't know the rules that well.
You could either just have staff continue working on it, in no motion, or you could table it specifically, and then you have a timeline set attached to that. That would require a motion.
Okay. I'll just move to continue working on it.
Yeah.
Second, if we need a second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That was the easiest. where are we here? Item number 8, discussion, village projects and properties update.
I should have waited for the Riverside Crossings for this agenda item, but I knew that a lot of the residents here were from that Derby area, so that's one big project that we're working on. The other project today that I spoke with our public works director about is the Safe Routes to School sidewalk project, and that is moving forward. Spring of next year, that'll be constructed. And then the sidewalk on the north side of St. Joseph, east of Libel, over here, that is, from what I understand, the forms are up, or they're going to be up pretty soon for the sidewalk there. So, again, that's kind of continuing that sidewalk block by block as we get to it. So,
it'll go somewhere now around the corner.
Right.
No.
And then.
But next year, connect.
No, I appreciate that.
Tomorrow's your last chance to submit an offer for the pump house. Anyone interested? We did, as I updated at the last meeting, we did have the restrictive covenant finalized, and we sent that out to all the people that had expressed interest, and the deadline to submit their offers is tomorrow.
Do you know how many envelopes have there been offers?
I don't want to say how many right now, but we have.
But there has been at least one.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So that will go to the board next Tuesday. And so maybe by next meeting in October, I'll be able to share with you some good news on that property. So. And that's it.
Moving on to item number 9, report discussion of standing committees.
That pretty much sums up the public works agenda,
that's it,
I think.
Yeah. Item number 10, discussion of annual site tour.
We're kind of late with that this year, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to have to start at 4 o'clock. It's going to be
dark. We're taking bikes.
We're not taking bikes.
We won't be able to take
No.
I had forgotten about that. We usually have this, and I threw it on here if you guys want to have it still. I know we hit on a lot of them in the past few years, so it's up to the Planning Commission whether they want to continue this fall or if they would like to wait till spring to do it, because you're right, it is getting darker sooner.
Well, and we do have to do it in the evening or on a weekend during the day.
Right.
Because I'm working during the day.
My suggestion, because a lot of these we kind of had visited in previous years, my suggestion is if we did do it, we would do the section of Webster that we're going to be discussing. At reconstructing, so the area between Alloway Avenue and Call Avenue, and or visit the number of vacant sites on Riverside Drive.
I think the vacant sites is a good idea.
I mean, nothing's proposed at this time, but there are vacant sites on the river. I assume something's going to happen sooner rather than later. So
it would be kind of interesting to see those, because I don't necessarily know what there is there. Mm-hmm. Like that site that we had the conditional use for last meeting, I wouldn't even have seen that. I wouldn't even think it was a piece of property in there. It just looked like a cavern.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of surprised about the whole thing. Someone really wants to build in there? So, if we decide that's what we want to do, we have to decide when.
Do it for the next meeting, I would think.
Right, and I would almost suggest,
could we maybe plan it for April or May and just for spring, then we would have a little more time to think about it, and then it would be longer days, because
I think that's a better idea, actually.
We're getting toward the shorter days already, that maybe if we say for the April or May meeting, we want to do it.
I like that.
That's good with me.
Yeah.
Works for me. We agree.
I just have a question, and I don't know if, so the surgery center up on Green, like on Webster, nothing has started there yet, do you know?
Right, and I could have mentioned that or item 8. So I did receive an email from the property owner saying that they are, because of new, from what I got from the email, from new regulations or requirements for surgery centers, they are on hold.
I was going to say, I know like something changed for the new year. We run into that right now at Somerville. Some of the new codes are changing for 2018. What year is it?
17 yet.
Yeah.
A few more months.
So I know that's been like delaying some projects in our office just with the new code, so I didn't know if that was the case or what. So
it sounded like it was more specific towards their
surgery
industry, yeah.
Got it.
So I'm not sure. It made it sound like unless things changed, they would not be moving forward. I'm going to be optimistic, but, you know.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is.
It would have been a nice addition to that intersection, that part of the village. How's the village going to try and market that little piece of property that's left over from the Zimbaldi's project? Did I understand it correctly that they didn't buy the whole thing, so now there's another narrow strip of land that's still for sale?
Right. Speaking with the owners of Zimbaldi, there's a few options we can explore there. We'll try to market it ourselves. And I think if at a length of time it doesn't work out, we'll probably just transfer the land to them. There is that shared parking and drive easement with the property that we established. So any business that locates there is able to take advantage of the shared drive and parking, so they won't have to necessarily factor that in for their frontage.
Thanks. I didn't realize that there was a piece left over until after that project kind of was approved. So we've agreed to do the annual site tour next April, May, when it's springtime.
Whenever that happens.
Yeah, if we ever get spring next year, then we'll do that. Item number 11, next meeting date and future agenda items.
So I have October 23rd. And then I have the noticing requirements on here.
I was going to ask, since it came up tonight, that'd be a good one to put on there.
Trevor, could you just make a note that I won't be here that night?
Sure.
Okay, on my way to Iceland.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Good place to
Send us a postcard.
Love the Northern Lights.
The Northern Lights. It's on my bucket list. My wife and I. Anything else on item number 11? Moving on to item number 12, adjournment. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Direct flights out of Chicago.
All the way to Reykjavik.
I have no idea what it is. I just flying. That's right. They just opened a lot of flights from different places in the U.S.
Trevor, help.
Don't worry.